Lyrics. When been thinking about that song, and I asked her this morning if she'd sing it. I'm glad I've got somebody I can trust this morning. And I'm going to be honest with you, church. You'll never go wrong trusting Jesus Christ. You'll never go wrong. You'll find people in your life, relationships, friendships. Some people's even seen it in their marriages. You think you can trust people. You can't always trust people. But I'm telling you, there is one you can trust, and His name is Jesus this morning. Amen. I highly encourage you to put your trust in Him with your problems, your worries, everything that's gone wrong, trust Him. And you know what? Keep trusting for everything that's going right. He is the answer for all things. John chapter number 15, if you got a Bible this morning. John in the 15th chapter, if you have a Bible. If you don't, you need one, you can raise your hand. We'll get one in your hand, or you can see us after church, and we'll get you a good old King James Bible. Thanks for that amen, Brother Scott. John chapter 15. Very familiar scripture when you find your place. If you're able this morning, please stand to your feet to honor the reading of God's Word. If you're able this morning. We're going to read just a few verses and then we'll pray and we'll give you what the Lord's put in our heart this morning. John chapter number 15. Going to read some of Jesus' words this morning. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You look at that verse right there, that tells you when God's ready to make more of you, He'll make less of you first. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Notice there's a pattern there, that in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And here it is, this is why that in me is so important. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here's our verse we're going to preach out of this morning. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We sure do love you this morning. We thank you for your presence being here. Thank you for the songs. God, I just thank you, Lord, for the church this morning, Lord. And we know the church was your idea because you put it together, Father. And we pray, God, that we're here to praise and to worship. Father, we're here, Lord, to just let go of some burdens this morning. God, help us to lay everything at your feet, Father, for you're worthy to be praised. God, we pray that you'd help in the preaching hour, Lord. Thank you for your word, the scriptures, Lord. Let them just sink deep into our hearts, Father. And I pray that you'd help us this morning. Anoint us and touch us, God. Would you just breathe on us this morning? And we pray most of all, if there be one here that's lost, oh God, would you draw them in and let them be saved before it be forever too late? Lord, would you just give us a touch from on high? Thank you for Calvary's Hill and what took place, that our precious Savior died and paid our sin debt, Father, so that we have a home in heaven with Thee. Again, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. Forgive us of all of our sins, and Father, thank you for all of our blessings. Lord, and we'll thank you for what you do here this morning. In the precious name of Jesus, I do humbly pray. Amen. And amen. Jesus' words here, he's talking about this, and I want us to get really into verse number 7 here, where he talks about that abide. And I started looking at that word, and it talks about there, if ye abide in me. He's talking about a distinct promise of power and success in prayer is what he's talking about that. You have to have that, right? You got to be in Jesus. That's what he's talking about. There's conditions to this verse, right? He's talking about ask what you will. These things will be given to you. He talks about there's conditions in prayer. There's challenges in prayer. But let me tell you something today. There is comfort in prayer this morning. That's where we find our comfort at. And he said that if you'd abide in me and my words in you. And I started doing a study on that about my words in you. And you know, that kind of tells us right there. It's when we keep his sayings fresh to guide us, our actions, our behaviors, and then let them influence our life and how we act, what we say, how we talk, what we do, who we're around. Let the power of God in our life influence our life every day. And that's what that abide there, he's talking about in that abide right there. He means knowing the scriptures. Believing the scriptures, right? If you're going to believe them, you got to know them. And once you know them, you got to believe them. And he's talking about to remember them when you abide, that dwelling, that permanent dwelling is what he's saying, that union, that coming together, being joined together is what he's talking about there. He says, when we do that, not only will we know them, will we believe them, but we'll remember them to daily practice them. That's what he wants inside of us. That's what he's saying in that abide in me. But he's talking about prayer there, right? When we pray, it has to be in Jesus' name. He tells us that when we pray to be in Jesus' name. But I want to talk this morning for just a few minutes about giving God a reason to answer our prayers. What can we do? There's four reasons I want to leave with you this morning about giving God a reason to answer our prayers. Reason number one, he says, if you abide in me, well, once you learn to abide in him, you learn what true praise is about. So reason number one to give God a reason to answer your prayers, right? That first reason is to praise him. And in Psalm 71, let me read you a verse here in Psalm 71. God put on the heart. Psalm 71 and 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Hope continually. He is our constant hope. He tells us about that praise thee more and more. Individually, this psalmist said, I'm going to praise you for you are my hope. He says, I'm going to praise you. And David talked about this. There are other psalms. He always talked about praising God. Every one of David's psalms that you'll see, it had something to do with some kind of praise, giving God honor, giving God glory. And it didn't matter about his enemies. It didn't matter about the confidence his enemies had. It didn't matter about the number that his enemies had. Whatever it was, David was always confident in God. He was confident in God, and that's why he praised God. He praised God because he knew God. He praised God because God had saved him. God had delivered him some things in his life. He knew that God would be his constant help every single day. God's not going to turn his back on us. The problem is we turn our back on God. God does not turn his back on us. Wow. We need God every day, and David knew that. This other psalm says. He said it continually. A continuing. That's why we praise. We do it continually. Ain't doing as much good, Dave, if we just praise God for everything's good. Why don't we praise Him for when everything's bad, right? And you say, well, preacher, that's kind of hard to do. But the Bible talks about we should be thankful. You know what? Everything, all the bad times in our life, it can be a whole lot worse than what it is. Right. It's all about how we're looking at what's going on in our life. How do we look at these problems? Right? A lot of times we look and say, oh, I've got the worst problems. This is the worst. This is the worst that happened. Nobody's ever had it by me. Paul said, we've got the same afflictions. We all know that's how we comfort one another. We went through these afflictions in life. We know how God has brought us through these afflictions in life. And you can help other people with their afflictions in life when you're going to praise Him. Right? Paul said, praise individually. Let me give you a praise when they did it collectively as a church. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Two verses. Right, this is when they come together. Verse 46 and 47 of Acts 2. And they, continuing daily, there it is right there, right? This praise is a continual. How do you continue to praise God, Daniel? You just have to stop, think a minute where He's brought you from, what He's done for you. What He is doing for you every day. He's taking care of you. He's providing everything that you need. God has been so good to us, church. He's good to us every day. How do you not thank God for everything He's done for us? We should have thankful hearts every day for what God has done for us. Look at what the church says. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, there it is, and having favor with all the people. Boy, isn't that good right there? Praising God. So they were praising. What was they praising? Look at this church's zeal that they had, right? They had a zeal to worship. They had a zeal for brotherly love. And this zeal that they had, church, it was contagious. Preach, how do you know it was contagious? Well, being read that verse right there. And the Lord added to the church daily such as he should be saved. Amen. Right?
what's it about? We started out verse 47, praising God. That's what church was all about. And I believe that's exactly why the Lord added to the church. Because they had come together and they wanted to praise God when they got here. It wasn't about seeing who had what hat on or what's going on. We want to see what pew they sit in, where they park at, what song they were going to sing, or if they're going to ask me to pray. That's not what church is all about. Church is about coming together and praising God and what He's done for us. And that's what this church did. And that's also the first time you'll ever read about you. New Testament churches in that right there. Where the church started. The Lord put that together. Wasn't a group of men, wasn't a board, it wasn't a committee that put this together. The Lord added to the church. God puts this together. And I want God to put together what we do here. God wants us to witness. God wants us to send out invitations, and all that's great. And you know what? We should do those things. And a lot of people say, well, that's the preacher's job to do all that. It's every one of our jobs.
Amen.
To tell people about Jesus. And I'm okay with that, but you know what God's told me my job is? My job is to preach the Word. If He said I stand on truth and I preach the Word, He will build a church.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is? A lot of times you see all these churches that just swell. They just come together and just swell. It's because men are trying to build a church. And you better be careful when you're building a church. You better be very careful. I'm all for having signs up there. You know, you want to welcome people. You want to show people hospitality. You want to be nice to people. You want to be generous to people. You want to be encouraging to people. You want to be a help to people. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want everybody welcoming your church.
Right.
I don't want no serpents. I don't want no snakes. I don't want no weasels. I don't want no wolves. I don't want none in our church. I don't want people that's going to bring division and drama in our church. Matter of fact, Paul says you need to mark them when they start walking in the door. And the best thing to do is really just walk them in this way and put this usher right out this door right here. God bless you. They might say, what's that all about? I tell you what, we're here to have church. That's what we're here to have. We're not here for a social gathering. We're not here to say we'll do this or say we'll do that. We're here to meet with God. That's what church is all about. And that's what I want to do. We're here to meet with God. And God knew that, and that's where that church was. How do you know? Because they had singleness of heart, they had gladness, they had close fellowship. But no, they wanted to have church. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what happens when a lot of people have church? They start getting nervous. They start getting scared when the Holy Spirit starts moving. God starts convicting. A lot of people just want to come in and want to hear a message. They don't want no conviction behind it. Please don't preach on our sin. Just tell us something that gets through the week and just make us feel good about ourselves. But let me tell you something that makes you feel good about yourself. Your righteousness is still in practice. Make all that up there. And it ain't that you can sleep in. Our righteousness is still the grass for there. That's why we need God.
Amen.
We need God to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us whole again. It's not nothing you can do. You can be a good person, but let me tell you something. If you're out there today and you think the hell is just full of evil people, you fooled yourself. I believe there's good people in hell today. I believe the greatest prayer meeting known to man is going on in hell today. I believe they are down there begging God for one more chance.
Amen.
It's too late. That's why you have to make the most of your opportunities today. When God draws you, it's so important for you to come to Him. It's so important. And you might say, well, I'll have other opportunities. Well, I'm young. And that doesn't matter if you're 6 or if you're 26. You don't know when the Lord's going to call you back. You don't know. James said this life is a vapor. It's a vapor. You're here and then you go. I know a lot of us make plans, and you know when you start getting in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, you talk about 401ks, investments. I want to have enough money when I retire. Right? There's nothing wrong with that plan. There's nothing wrong with having a plan in life. But you don't know if you're going to make it. I'm not here to say it. You won't. I don't know how long you'll be here. Everybody in this room can live to be 100-something year old. I don't know what God's going to do. But I know this. You're not promised tomorrow. And I'll also tell you this, somebody in this room today could go home and meet God today.
Amen.
And it could be me. And that'd be okay. Don't shed no tears for me. I'm telling you, I'll be up there praising and rejoicing. I'll be up there just that walking. They say walking streets go, but I don't believe when you start getting in that joy, and you start breathing joy, I don't believe you breathe oxygen in death, I believe you breathe joy.
Amen.
That's what I believe in. I believe it's going to be so awesome and it's just so mind-blowing. I don't think I can walk on the streets of gold. I just hope my feet touch the ground. I think I'm going to be floating. That's how I like it so bad. And I'm ready to go when God calls my name. Now, I'm not
time for everything that goes on. Not bad times do happen, but you know what? Don't get so down on yourself when bad times happen. God makes a lot of times when bad times happen because He's trying to strengthen your faith. He's trying to build your character. Everybody has storms. We all have storms, Brother Aaron. But you know, those that are saved, you've got somebody that calms them.
Amen.
And that's Jesus, and that's why I praise Him this morning. They did it as individuals, and they did it as a church. Reason number two to give God origination prayers. By pleasing Him. By pleasing God. Psalms 37. We'll read two verses out of that. Psalms 37. Verse 4 and 5, to write them down. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Delight. Right? Pleasing God. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Praise God, He didn't say to your saints that He bring it to pass. He said delight and commit. That was two words I picked up out of that. I really looked at these words up. Delight means to experience great pleasure or joy in His presence. His presence. That's where your joy comes from. Jesus said, if you get my joy, your joy will be full. How you get full of joy in it? Lord Jesus. And He said, not only delight, He said, commit. Commit means entrusting everything to His control and guidance. We'll think that when He did that again. Trusting everything to His control and guidance. Our lives, our families, our jobs, everything about our bills, everything we have. Trusting that to His guidance, His control. Trusting God. It's not always easy, is it? It's just the same song, I still trust you, Lord. And that song is probably real easy to sing if she's on a mountaintop. But I'm telling you, you let everything fall apart in her life, let her try to sing that song. I bet it'd be a little hard to sing. Not saying she couldn't, but I bet it'd be hard. When everything falls apart and God comes on the scene, that's when we really learn to trust Him. How do you trust Him, Brother Daniel? Let me tell you something, because He loves you and He cares about you. That's why you trust Him, because there's one that will never leave you and He'll never forsake you. He'll always be right there with you. That's why you trust Him. Things that please God brings my presence to Him. Let me give you four more things. Our giving pleases God, right? Our giving. Our time. Giving of our time pleases God. If we give time towards Bible study, towards prayer, towards church, coming to church, that pleases God. Our talents, when we do things for the Lord. Preacher, I don't have any talents. And I've heard that so many times, preacher, I've heard, yes, I understand that not everybody can sing. I can't sing, but I'm going to stand up here and try to lead a song. But I can't sing. And then let me tell you something. I don't sing for you. I can sing for the Lord.
Amen.
Because I love Him. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can play a musician. Not everybody can play a musical instrument. I realize that. I know that. But let me tell you something that everybody can do. Everybody has a talent. Right? Everybody can do something, whether it's encouraging words, whether it's playing something, sing, teach class, be able to understand things in the Bible. Everybody's got a talent. Everybody can pray. Everybody can pray. Your time, your talents. Let's get on the six, and everybody likes this one. What about your tithes and your offerings, your money? Right? That usually gets quiet in church when we start calling my people's money. Let me tell you something, it ain't yours, it's God's. People say, well, I'm trying to bring this back, I'm trying to do greater things for my family. I try to give my family things that I didn't have. And I've done the same things. We grew up, and there's one back here behind my wife, one of the best people I know, right now. We've known each other ever since we were in diapers. We walked, and neither one of us had nothing in life. Everything we had come from the yard sale. We didn't have toys. We didn't have toys. We didn't have nothing. We didn't go to the neighbor's house to have toys. Remember the Reeves family? They had money, they had everything. So we didn't go to the white place. We just went over to their house and played with toys. They don't have to come home because we didn't have nothing. But let me tell you something, what we did have. We didn't have money, but we had love.
Amen.
We had love. Where did that love come from? Because I had a praying mom that took me to church.
Amen.
That's love. That's worth more than any kind of money. And a lot of times people will be so selfish in their money they don't want to give. Let me tell you something. You do not know the blessings of God until you start giving what God will do for you. And I mean, praise you, talk about money. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you. I'll say this and I'll be out for money. If your money's not right with God, you're not right with God. That's Bible. That's Bible. God is looking for selfish people. Let me tell you something right now. People that want to be selfish for their money, they want to keep their money. It takes money to run the church. You've got to pay the bills. And not only that, I like to give to missions, people that's going on board soul and that's doing the work of the gospel. They depend on that, and I want to give to that. And by the way, everything that I have is God's anyway. It's not mine. It's God's. That's why I want to give to Him, because He gives to me every single day. I'm off your money, tithes and offerings, your time to tell. What about your testimony? Your testimony that pleases God. I love to hear people brag on God. Now don't stand up, you're going to brag on yourself and tell us what you've done for God.
Right.
I want to hear what God's done for you.
Amen.
I want somebody to brag on God. Now if you need all that, go out there in the parking lot, somebody platform you or something, I'm sure, or animal or something platform.
Yeah.
But we're here to brag on God.
Amen.
That's what pleases God. When we testify, give our testimony of what God has done for us in our life. Preacher, I don't even know what to testify. Tell them what God's done for you. I don't know what my testimony is. He woke you up this morning. He got you to church. You had gas to get here. You're in the house of God this morning. That's a testimony.
Amen.
Because we could all be in the hospital, in jail, or hell. What we deserve. Things that please God. Praise Him. Please Him. That's how to get Him to answer your prayers for the time. Let me give you another. Proclaim Him. I'm going to read you some verses now. Psalms 145. It's Psalm of David. It's very good. Proclaim Him. David loved to talk about God. Look what it is. This is a precious psalm right here. It's not that long. I will extol Thee, my God, O King. And that means to magnify, it's all. I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Boy, David, he's on the road right here. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is insearchable. That's just how good God is. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. Brother Aaron, God tell David, said right there, He said, pin this down. He said, we need to pass this thing on down and keep it going. That's why it's important to let youth get involved in the services. To let sometimes, a lot of times on Sunday nights, we let our youth take up the offering and things like that. We have classes for youth on Wednesday nights for smaller kids, and I'd love to see it grow and do great things. We've got to pass this whole thing down. Let me say this too. I think it's important for everybody to be in the sanctuary. I like that.
Amen.
Some people say, well, what for five? Whatever. I know people that got saved for five. Oh, well, they're just reading a book. You don't know what God's going to do.
That's
right. They might be playing with a truck. You don't know what God's going to do. I'd rather have a man here playing with a truck than on watching something else on TV. We've got to pass this thing on down. I'm telling them that. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. I will speak of the glorious honor and of the majesty and of Thy wondrous works. David shall proclaim Thee, and men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Boy, that's just God's attribute right there. The Lord is good to all. And His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power. She's still proclaiming them. To make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Hallelujah to God right there. Listen to that one more time. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down.
Amen.
The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them the meat in due season. Thou openest Thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, that call upon Him in spirit, that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him, and He will hear their cry, and He will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever. and that 145th Psalm right there. David talked in that Psalm proclaiming him. What's he saying right there? Let me break it down into three words. David said, everyone, every day, proclaim God for everything.
Amen.
Everyone, every day, for everything. That's what God does. All His works. He gives us all His love. Everything that God does for us. That's why David said, I'm going to proclaim it. He already talked about that Psalms 145. He wouldn't proclaim the name because he'd been saved. God took care of him. God provided for him. God was always there for him. It wasn't like these times where everybody else is like we face where people's in your life and out of your life. It doesn't just like that. Oh, I'll be there with you all the way to the end. Only Jesus will do that.
Amen.
You know, that's a promise not even your spouse can make. I'll be with you even to the end. You don't know what's going to happen. But Jesus will be with you all the way to the end. By praising Him. By praising Him. By proclaiming Him. Last one. By prioritizing Him. Prioritizing Him. Matthew chapter number 6. Here we go. Matthew chapter number 6. He said in verse number 33, Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, there's a condition in your prayer too. It said, seek Him first and all these things. Well, preacher, what's all these things? Well, all you got to do is back up to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Then the Bible says, for after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek the first kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. Preacher, what's going to be added to you? You'll have food to eat. Does that mean you're not the very best for everything and something? He said He'll provide food. And I'll tell you one thing, too. If we would put as much emphasis on spiritual eating as we do physically eating, then we'll get close to God.
Amen.
That's the answer. We eat our drink. It says we'll be clothed. A lot of times we're so worried about being clothed, but God told me He's going to clothe me. God's going to provide our dresses, outfits I need down in the belt. He's going to make sure that J.C. Penney stays open while I get these clothes. You know what God's talking about clothing me in? Humility and holiness.
Amen.
That's what pleases Him too. When our priorities are right. So I ask you, what's important to you today? What's first place in your life? Is it people, objects, goals, desires? They all compete for priority in our hearts. All these things to do. There's nothing wrong with you having goals. Not one thing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you furthering your education. There's nothing wrong with you having the desires. The Bible says you're going to talk about that in the light of the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. You know what the desires of God will give you to your heart? That doesn't mean you're going to walk out there in your mailbox and you have a published friend that's going to give you $1 million. It could happen. It could happen. It could happen. It could happen. She died on that. It could happen. That someone's talking about your desires. Your desires He's talking about is to know Him, to walk with Him, to love Him, by the way. That's what He's talking about. That's what our desires should be. And when you line up with His desires, Brother Aaron, He'll make all those come true.
Amen.
Are your priorities? What's important to you? It shows. Let me tell you something. What it shows? The things you talk about is what's important to you. The things that you talk about. Well, that seems like you talk about church all the time. It's important to you. You talk about God all the time.
Amen.
You don't do nothing but talk about your kids. That's what's important to you. But let me tell you something, and I'm not knocking this, because we've all seen this week. A great NBA basketball player died. Right? Everybody knows that. Everybody said, you can't put on nothing without seeing it.
Yeah.
Right? And my heart breaks for his wife and for his kids.
Yeah.
He's still here. He was a human being. He was a man. I don't know much about the man, to be honest, just from what was on TV, and I really don't watch basketball much, so I didn't ever pay attention to it. I don't know what kind of person he was. Don't know if he's saved up between him and God.
Right.
But he's saved or not. But is it not unbelievable the people that have gathered and have shed tears for him?
Amen.
Can you imagine what God would do with Los Angeles if they shed tears like that over their sins? There's no telling what God would do with Los Angeles. What about just around here? You see it. People share everything. They're sharing all stories about it. What if people search the scriptures like they're searching Facebook to find a story of it? Can you imagine how God would move right there? How we'd be closer to God? You see what it is? That story of Him is their problem. But let me tell you something. He might have been one of the best moral people in this world. I don't know if he was or not. But I'll tell you one thing he did not do. He didn't die for anybody's sins. Not his wife, not his kids, not his team, nor none of us. But he died for us. He died. And he went to go meet God. And I hope he was saved. Ain't nothing I can do about it if he wasn't. There ain't no praying for him once they die. You ain't come together and have a moral. Let's pray for him. Let's pray him into heaven. It's not possible to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. When we leave here, we're going to meet him up there. It ain't going to be God for me to have one more chance. Well, God, I just can't get nobody else in my house to go to church. Your salvation is based individually on you. Well, God, my wife just didn't want to do anything with us. I just didn't need help. God's going to hold you accountable for your actions, your behaviors. And that's the beautiful thing. See, God's not going to hold me accountable for me. He don't hold me accountable for what I preach to other people. God don't hold me accountable. He don't do anything.
Amen.
But I'll tell you this. Whether you receive what God gives me, He's not going to hold me accountable for that. That's on you. That's on you. Prioritizing Him. Keeping Him first in your life. Heard a man say one day, if you give God the first few minutes of your day, He'll take care of the rest of your day. Let me tell you this in your finances. If you give God the first part of your fruits, He'll take care of the rest of your fruits.
Amen.
Giving God His first. Give God the first day of the week, He'll take care of the most 6 days of the week. Letting God be first. Letting God be first. What reasons do you have? What do you have in your heart this morning that you need answers? What do you need God to do for you? Let me ask you this right here. You remember when we were just talking just a few minutes and I'm done? Miss Randy, you can go ahead and get up a minute, please, man. Let me ask you this. We were talking about collectively praising Him in Acts, the whole church coming together praising God. What have you done? What have you done? What have you said that have attracted people to our church? What have seen you in the communities? Stores, and the schools, your jobs, Walmart eating groceries, maybe down at Macco eating gas. What have you done to attract people? And let me tell you something. I don't want nobody to be attracted to this church. I want them to be attracted to the Jesus. I want people to get help from our church. It's not about having every pew filled. If I was having a pew filled, that's fine. I'd rather have 20 that love the Lord than have 2,000 that don't care about it.
Amen.
Give me the 20. But you know what that 20 did right there? We'll have power.
Amen.
Have power. What do you need God to do for you today? What's going on in your life? Only God can answer. He's your hope this morning. Preacher, I need you to help me this morning. Only thing I can do for you, I might give you some scriptures and I might pray for you as far as I go with you this morning. You're going to have to let God, you're going to have to invite God into your situation, into your trouble, into what's going on in your life. You've got to invite God into what's going on. Let's stand together. Maybe you need to pray. Let's pray and play whatever's on your heart. What do you need to ask God for today? I've been trying to please Him. First place in your life. Why don't you come and talk to the Lord about it? Maybe you're having trouble proclaiming. Maybe you want to tell people about the Lord Jesus. And you don't know how to do it. Come and ask God for discernment, for wisdom. The Bible says He did lack the wisdom. It's James chapter 1. Let him ask God. What do you need this morning? Preacher, I just got a whole lot going on. God knows what you got going on. God knows. Well, preacher, what I didn't tell you for, if He already knows what I'm going on, He's waiting to answer your prayers when you come and talk to Him about it. Maybe God's going to show you some things.
but he needs you to move.
I love my friend, Brother Josh Evans.
He helped me so much one day.
He said, if you don't take one step towards God, God will take two steps towards you.
How good God is. What do you need from God this morning? Would you just come talk to Him? Maybe you're needing some help on how to talk to somebody about being saved.
Come ask God right ahead.
God might already be working in their heart. You don't even know it.
We talked about our time. Would you spend your time wisely today? The best thing you can do with your time is pray.
You need this morning. We just want you to talk to the Lord about it. Maybe you want to pray for your kids. Maybe mom and dad need prayer.
Maybe grandma and grandpa, maybe aunt and uncle need prayer this morning. Would you come pray for them? Has God laid somebody in front of you this morning? Is He laying somebody in front of you that you need to pray for this morning? I hope you pray for them. Because I'm going to tell you something. If God was waving my face in front of somebody else, I sure wouldn't pray for anything. We don't always know what we need. You might say, preacher, I'd like to pray, but I really don't know what to pray for. Would you just come together and offer? Romans chapter 8 says Jesus is our intercessor. He knows what we need. Sometimes praying, it's not talking. Sometimes it's just a tear. It's just like Hannah did. It's tears run down. Maybe her lips was moving, but nothing was coming out. God can read your lips. God can read your tears. God can hear your prayers. The Bible said His ears aren't too heavy that He cannot hear. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2.
Or verse 1.
The Lord knows. Would you just come talk to Him this morning and tell Him what you need?
Preacher, I really don't know too much to pray for. Everything's going good in my life.
When's the last time you just thanked Him for everything going good in your life?
Food's in the cabinets. Clothes are on their back. Bills are paid up. The cars are full of gas.
You ought to thank God for that. Because you don't know what you'll go through next week before the coach can be in. Yes,
anyhow.
Oh, preacher, it would never happen. God can send a tornado and destroy everything that you've got. Loves you today. Cares for you today. What do you need this morning? What's going on?